First of all, God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is from our Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. The title is called The Reward of a Servant. So what reward do you give a faithful servant? By today's standards, if you find someone who is very good at their job, how are they usually rewarded in the workplace? Well, they're usually given more responsibilities, and then even more responsibilities. So it seems like if you are that good, faithful servant, you're going to get more and more responsibilities upon you until you get to that breaking point and you're basically saying, okay, enough, I can't handle it anymore. Well, I hate to tell you, the same is true with God. He also operates that way. He keeps giving you more and more and more until you sort of get to that breaking point and you say, okay, Lord, enough. And then we're going to find out in our text, he even gives you more. And you may be thinking, what a strange way to be doing things. And so let's entertain that thought for a moment. Let's take the opposite point of view. Let's take we have a very good and faithful servant here. And would we then say, okay, I know you're now that good and faithful servant. Why don't you rest and relax, kick up your feet? No, because then they wouldn't be that good and faithful servant, would they? No, the servants basically show their goodness and their faithfulness by how well they work. So let's use that as an introduction into our text here for a moment. Our text is actually coming from the point of view of the coming Messiah. Here Isaiah is sort of giving us a little bit of that prophecy here about who the Christ is and what the Christ is going to do. Now, some words in our text may be a little perplexing from the Christ's point of view. Let me pick up some of the words of our text. He would say, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord. Those words may sound kind of strange coming from our Savior. I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing and for vanity. I will admit, but if we try to superimpose those words upon us, those words make good sense here. How many times have you felt that you've been at the end of your rope? How many times have you felt that you've put all your strength and energy into a project and then you've seen it not go the direction you want it to go? And then you sort of get frustrated. Same is true with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Think of it from his point of view. Christ desires people to be saved. But when the Christ came to this world, were people just flocking to him? Was the whole world just saying, all right, you are the Savior? No, you had many people who were still rebelling. Many people who were grumbling in their hearts. Many people who refused to listen to what our Lord and Savior said. Being true man and true God, we would imagine that Jesus also probably was frustrated from time to time. He was frustrated because people were not listening. People were rebelling. And this is where our text fits in for today. You could sort of picture, because of the humanity of Jesus, he also was frustrated that people were not coming to him because he was proclaiming that good news. Now, notice here what happens. There's a little bit of dialogue here, so to speak, almost from God the Father talking to his Son. And here the Father would be speaking. A little bit later on in our text, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the persevered of Israel. I will make you a light for the nations, that my salvation will reach to the ends of the earth. Now let me unpack that for a moment. If we understood the first line where Jesus would be saying, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. And what's God the Father's response? Well, the job that you're doing is too light for you. Let me increase the load. Now let me explain it in terms of salvation. You see, it wasn't just the people of Israel that the Christ came to redeem, but the whole world. That's what's made reference to the line that it's too light of a thing for my servant to raise up the tribes of Judah, but I will make you a light to the nations. It wasn't enough for Jesus just to go to the cross to die for the people of Israel, but he was dying for the forgiveness of sins of all people throughout the whole entire world, not just a select group. So notice what God the Father does here. Jesus may feel that frustration that people aren't coming to him, and he says, don't worry, I'm going to increase your load. I'm going to make it heavier. You're just not going to die for the people of Israel. You're going to die for the people of the whole world. Boy, what kind of loving father do we have? Aren't we glad that we're not Jesus, basically? Because we are the recipients of that increased workload for the Christ. We are of the world, unless if you happen to have that Jewish background. But most of us don't. We have that Gentile background. Because of that, we need our Savior to take on that extra load for us, to redeem us, to show us that, yes, God's love is for the whole world. See, Jesus was that faithful servant. Now let's superimpose this into our own lives. As Christians, we are also supposed to be that faithful servant. We're supposed to receive God's word, give great praise and thanks to God, and then do what? Take that same love and forgiveness and share it to the world around us. Our load, being that good and faithful servant, we also may feel like we're at the end of our rope. We also may feel that we have labored in vain, that we have spent our strength for nothing and for vanity. We also may feel very, very frustrated that the many things that we have put our time and energy into don't go according to our plan. And then what is the response of our loving Father? Don't worry, the task that you have is too light. I will give you a greater task. I will put more responsibility upon you. And what is our reaction? Help. Don't worry, our Lord gives us that help. Let me go back to that line where we were talking about the increased responsibility. It says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the persevered of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Notice the phrase, I will make. You see, we have to understand something very important about our relationship with God. Yes, we are servants, but who does the work? Very often as Christians, we need to picture ourselves, yes, we're the workers, so to speak, but more importantly, we are the tool. And let me use a tool illustration for a moment to help make my point. The point that I'm going to try to make is that God is doing the work through us. Just picture for a moment you have one of these projects at home where it requires the use of a hammer and many nails. And the project requires of you to be hammering all day long. And at the end of the day, your arms sort of feel kind of sore after all that hammering. Now, as you sit down and rest because of your sore arms, what would happen if the hammer started speaking to you and thinking, boy, that was a real rough day. I need some rest here. You might be thinking, first of all, you've worked too hard. But you also may be thinking, wait a minute, to the hammer, that's what you were made for. That's what you were supposed to be doing. What do you have to complain about? You really weren't doing the work. It was the worker with the arms and the strength who was creating that energy. The hammer's job was just to pound in the nail. Well, the same is true for us as Christians. The work of proclaiming Christ to the nations is really done through the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit works through you. Who is really expending the energy? Who is really expending the strength? That's God's responsibility. You are the tool. Now let me put it in frames of work of our text. What's going on here is God is saying, I will strengthen you. I will give you that energy so that the work is accomplished because it is done by God himself. So how does God give us that energy? How does God work through us? How are we that tool? That comes via God's word. It is God's word that sustains us. It is God's word that gives us that mission. It is God's word that strengthens us. If we feel like the load is too heavy, maybe it's because we think that we're trying to do the work. We need to let God work through us to accomplish his work. It's not our work. We're just the tool. God works through us. So maybe part of our frustration is that we think it's our work, where in reality, it's Christ's work. And by the way, did Christ accomplish his work? You better believe he did. When he died on the cross, he did die for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world. He was raised from the dead because he loves each and every one of us. He has already accomplished this. And so the Spirit, who just testifies to who Christ is, works through us to encourage us and to lift us up. Besides, going back to our servant analogy here, what does every servant really need? What does every worker in the workplace really need? It's great when the boss comes down and sort of pats us on the back and says, you've done that good job. And what are we expecting the boss to do? To say, go ahead, you worked great from 8 to noon. Take the rest of the day off. No, the boss says, you work great from 8 to noon. Keep on working. The boss is designed to encourage us, to lift us up. So it is with God our Father through his word. God lifts us up. God strengthens us. To give you sort of an illustration to this, just humor me in this. Pretend for a moment. What would happen if God truly was speaking at a particular place on this earth? That if we knew that, yes, this was truly God speaking, we could see him in his glory. People understood that this is truly God. We'd be thinking to ourselves, we'd probably run as fast as we possibly can to get to that point. Well, God is truly speaking. He is truly speaking whenever his word is speaking. Whenever his word is proclaimed from the pulpit, whenever we open the Bible, that is God's word speaking. And you need to pat yourself on the back. When I left this morning, it was -6 degrees outside, and I was thinking, how many people in their right mind are going to show up to church this morning? Guess what? You're here. Good job. Because you knew that you would come and you would gather to hear God's word. This is his word, not my word. Needless to say, whenever we take that opportunity to get into God's word, we are strengthened by it. Part of our program for the season of Lent is to encourage all of our members to go through the whole entire New Testament. And we have a program with Faith Comes by Hearing that offers an audio version of the New Testament for you completely free to help you accomplish this goal. This goal is really designed to strengthen you. If you are looking forward to, you know, that Christian vacation, so to speak, where you put up your feet, rest and relax, it's not it. That's not the role of the servant. The role of the servant is to keep on working and to keep on being strengthened by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are strengthened by his word. Henceforth, as Christians, we need to take this wonderful opportunity we have to be challenged during this Lenten season, to get into God's word for your benefit, for your soul's benefit, for the benefit of your relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because through his word, you are strengthened. Through his word, you are encouraged. Have you ever felt that you've been sort of at the end of your rope? Using the words of our text, have you ever felt that you labored in vain? That you've spent your strength for nothing? That all this is vanity? Then get reconnected to God's word. Because that's where our strength and our energy comes from. It comes from God. It doesn't come from within us. It comes from outside of us. Needless to say, this challenge is before you to go through the entire New Testament to sort of strengthen us up for a special preparation. Because at the end of Lent, because Lent is a preparatory season, we get the great celebration of Easter. The celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving us the forgiveness of sins. This is what it's all about. This is what the Christian faith is. And so as Christians, we're sort of preparing ourselves for that special celebration, hence the challenge of getting into God's Word. You may ask yourself, is this the easy way? No, this is the challenging way. But as a good and faithful servant, we need to take up that challenge and go with it. I also will be joining you, going through the whole entire New Testament during the season of Lent. But just for your information, in case if you're wondering what of us pastor types really do, that's not much of a challenge for me. Because typically I have a personal goal every year, not just going through the New Testament. I go through the whole entire Bible. And not just the Bible, I also go through what's called the Book of Concord. It's a book, so to speak, that as Lutherans we've all agreed to. And it's important that as your pastor, I continue to feed myself not only with God's Word, but also with a good exposition of God's Word, hence the Book of Concord. Those two challenges are extremely challenging for me to go through every year besides my normal reading and my normal routines. But if you set time aside, whether it be 28 minutes a day, a half an hour a day, 15 minutes a day, you can accomplish an awful lot. Each and every day to sort of discipline yourself so that you become and that you grow to be that good and faithful servant. Now getting back to our text here. In Isaiah reminds us that yes, God is coming. We know that he has already come through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we go to the end of the words of our text, which give us hope. The last few lines of our text from Isaiah talks about the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. God has chosen you. Through holy baptism, God has put his name upon you, not so that you can rest, you can put your feet up on the lazy boy, that you can sit there and watch TV, but to be a servant. To tell the world what Christ has done for you. To reflect his love and his glory. He hasn't chosen you to rest and relax. He has chosen you to work. So this day we consider, what is the reward of a faithful servant? To sit up and rest and relax? Or to be strengthened by the Master and get out and work? As you can probably tell by the message, the answer is the latter. God does and strengthen us with his word so that we may boldly proclaim what he has done, given us the forgiveness of sins, strengthen us with his word and sacraments. Yes, there are going to be times that we may feel weary from the work, but we go back to the one who gives us strength. We go back to his word, and yes, God is faithful. His promises are sure. He promises to strengthen you in all that you do. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all your understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.